Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Regular Legislative Meeting. Complete recording. April 18, 2017.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And now we have a solicitor's report.
Two things. First, there was, as far as the sunshine announcements, there's been one executive session since the last board meeting that occurred prior to this meeting today, April 18th, regarding two labor relations matters. Also, I wish to bring to the board and the public's attention, in case you may have read about in the newspapers, entitled Andrew F. earning a standard, nationwide standard for special education, what would be considered a free and appropriate public education. In some states, it was considered to be simply more than a de minimis progress. The Third Circuit, where Pennsylvania is located, has always had a much higher standard, and the Supreme Court has affirmed that standard. So it's an important decision for students nationwide that will not really change the law in Pennsylvania or in Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Ruse. And now we have a residency report by Dr. Horsey.
Thank you. Good evening. I would like to update the community on the residency referral process. Residency referrals can be made via email through the district's residency information line, which is 215-881-6336. I'll repeat that, 215-881-6336. Or through an electronic Google form, which can be found on the district's webpage. Please note that referrals can be made anonymously. When the district receives a referral, our registrar determines the investigation process, which may include one of the following: interviewing parents and guardians, requiring parents and guardians to bring in updated residency documents, contacting landlords to confirm the status of a lease, conducting a home visit, or even assigning an investigator to conduct a surveillance. An investigation may take approximately 2 weeks. When a student is found to be a non-resident, the following occurs. A parent or guardian is notified and provided with a chance to submit updated residency documents. A student will be withdrawn from school. A parent could request a non-residency hearing to appeal the district's decision to withdraw a student. The district can pursue tuition reimbursement for the days a student attended as a non-resident. Now, I would like to share that there are at least two exceptions for students to attend our schools as a non-resident, such as students who are deemed homeless or in foster care. To date, the district has received 67 residency referrals. 41 of those referrals were verified as residents, 22 students were withdrawn, and 4 students have been deemed homeless. I would like to remind families about the required residency documents that need to be provided at time of registration, which include a deed, driver's license or state-issued photo ID, tax bill, current utility bill, and or a current signed lease. Community members may direct their inquiries about the residency referral process to Ms. Kate Shevlin, who is the district's registrar and registry specialist. She is here with us tonight. Thank you, Ms. Shevlin. And her telephone number is 215-881-6322. Again, I'll repeat that, 215-881-6322, or via email at kshevlin@cheltenham.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Horsey. We are at the point for public comments on agenda items only. If anybody has a comment on the agenda, please come forward. And seeing none, we will continue. Approval of the minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for March 21st?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Fishbein, Mr. Rackow, all in favor?
Aye.
So approved. President's reports. We will have a brief update from student representatives at Cheltenham High School. I see Valerie Lucio, and I don't see Paige, so please introduce yourself as you give your report.
Hi, my name is Lillian Fung, and I'm a junior.
All right, good evening. So we have a couple of things that happened in April and some fun things coming up right now. So as Dr. Smith mentioned, the high school improvement climate. So after break, we're kind of like restarting. So we have norm posters up in the hallways, kind of reminding students of what's expected and like, hey, like this is kind of what a acceptable student like looks like here in high school. Mr. John Hamm was in March, so that was that Friday and spring fling. It was great. All the students and teachers that participated, we had a great time. Blood Drive is this Friday, April 21st. Abington made it a competition with us, so kind of like who will raise the most blood. They named it the Blood Wars, I guess. So whoever kind of wins is going to get like a trophy, I guess, but that's what they wanted it to be. You have to be 17 or 18 to donate, and it's throughout the school day. If you guys would like to donate, you can just let us know, and we can fill you in for a time. Student council elections, applications were given out 2 weeks ago. All of the officers, Paige Kitsidis, Matthew Werner, Isaac Smolashatz, and myself, we went to each homeroom to kind of speak to all of the students, and we kind of said, like, this is what student council does. We have applications here if anybody wants any. So it was a great way to kind of get the voice out to everyone and make sure that everybody's included and given the opportunity. Applications were due today, so we will be reviewing them this week, and next week we will have speeches for the president and speaker positions, and then the board will be decided as well. May 1st is College Decision Day, so seniors will be wearing their college t-shirts to school, kind of to show this is where I'm going, and kind of as a way to show the underclassmen like ideas and kind of get them encouraged for college as well. Film Fest is also this Friday at 7. Students will showcase homemade films, and it's really exciting. It's always a great way to kind of show the things that students can do. And we have a recycling campaign kicking off. Flyers will be going up this Friday. Student Council is encouraging students to recycle at CHS, and we are also making like something to add to the bins that it will kind of like really pop, so that students see like, hey, like instead of using that trash can, I'll put my stuff in here.
Once again, hi, my name is Lillian Fung, and AP exams are starting May 1st. We are prepping every day in our AP classes. Practice exams are next week. Junior prom is Saturday, May 6th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. The theme is black tie, so we look forward to seeing everyone dressed up for a fun night. Also, as the time comes near, we are seeing prom proposals coming up in class, which are really nice and cute. The third marking period just ended Monday, so this is the final home stretch, the fourth marking period to the end of the school year.
Thank you. And just to clarify, you said the blood drive is this Friday?
Correct.
And if a board member were interested, we can follow up with the...
I will forward it on to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that we may help you beat Abington. We'll see. Anything to beat Abington. Cedarbrook Middle School, Dr. Bobby.
Yes, Cedarbrook Middle School construction project update. Continuing installing of the masonry wall in auditorium, auxiliary gym, and locker rooms area. Sure. Continue spraying exterior wall for fireproofing. Completed pouring concrete for footing and foundation walls in the lobby area. Continue installing HVAC ductwork throughout the building. Completed installing masonry blockwork at two stair towers. Completed excavation of the compacted soil in the elevated shaft area. Installed plumbing and HVAC copper piping in the classroom area. Completed installing energy recovering heat exchanger on the roof area. Installing electrical and HVAC piping, work in progress at this time. And also at this time, 57% of this project has been completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bobby. Now we have approval of the treasurer's report. Can I have a motion, please? Second. Mr. Ragnow, Mr. Nelson, any comments or questions? I'd like to ask you to vote, please.
Aye.
And aye. Motion carries. And this takes us to the MCIU report, and I am the representative currently for the district. MCIU meets on a monthly basis, and the board of directors is one representative from each of the 23-member school districts in Montgomery County. The MCIU provides a range of services for the school districts, and I just want to touch on a couple of items from the meeting, which was held on March 22nd. There was a presentation that was given by our county commissioner chair, Dr. Valor Cush, regarding the Montgomery County Overdose Task Force. The Montgomery County Overdose Task Force was established in 2014 in response to the increase in opioid-related deaths, which is a national problem. The charge was to analyze the issue of increased opioid deaths and provide recommendations how the county could help to combat this public health epidemic. Through the task force efforts, every municipal police department in Montgomery County now carries or is currently being trained to carry naloxone, which is an antidote for an opioid overdose. The task force has also reached out to county colleges and high school and school district superintendents about naloxone on their campuses. And I'll just leave it there. That's the MCIU report. This is a public meeting that happens once a month in Norristown. The next meeting will be next Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the MCIU building in Norristown. That is that report. And now Eastern Center for Arts and Technology, Mrs. Wright.
We've had no meeting at Eastern Center since the last legislative meeting. We are scheduled to meet tomorrow evening, will be provided at the next legislative meeting.
Thank you. And an opportunity to one more time honor our students.
Sure, absolutely. And at tomorrow's meeting, we will be again honoring Lisa Fox. One thing I forgot to mention earlier is I said that out of all the students at Eastern, only 10 students per school year are awarded with Student of the Month. And that's not just from Cheltenham. That includes Abington, Jenkintown, Upper Dublin, Upper Moreland, Lower Moreland, Springfield Township School Districts as well. So it really is a very big honor. And this year we had two Cheltenham students for Student of the Month. So of the 10 students, we've had two this year. So it's really an accomplishment.
That is wonderful. Committee reports, financial affairs, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you very much. Our last financial affairs committee meeting occurred on Tuesday, April 4th. We had just a few items in that committee update. The first was a policy review. So while we certainly have a very active policy committee, one of the agendas for the academic year was to also find which policies were very pertinent to specific board committees, such as policy for the finance committee. So the meeting kicked off with just a high-level review of a few of the policies that the board has that pertain specifically to financial operations of the district. We will continue to have those conversations. We did not delve into any of them specifically, but Ms. Michaels did kind of help to inform the board and make sure that we're all aware of the kind of next level of due diligence and kind of updating and refreshing some of the policies that are already in place. We also did have a brief conversation around the possible need, or at least the need to review where we stand from a policy perspective around kind of the administration and oversight of booster clubs and some of the financial ramifications of PTO organizations and things of that nature. Nothing has been set, but it at least has been raised in the Financial Affairs Committee as a policy consideration for the future, and so look for that in future meetings. I don't yet know which ones. We then moved on to transportation, just as a refresher for all. We are heading into the tail years of a five-year transportation contract with Philadelphia Transportation, and that five-year contract technically would end at the end of the 2017-2018 school year, so in June 2018. What was reviewed with us is just the kind of the contract terms around the auto renewal. So the board will, at some point in the next month and a half, realistically, have the decision as to whether we auto renew that contract for another 5 years, or by June 1st, enter into what would be kind of a 30-day kind of, you know, exclusive renegotiation period between the board, or I guess between the district and Philadelphia Transit, to either modify terms or to potentially say that we would have to go out for a bid for a new transportation provider in the next 17-18 school year. So nothing of action quite yet on that, but it was an update to the board of, again, the terms of that five-year deal that we have with our transportation provider, and again, a kind of alert that come the end of this current school year, we will likely, would possibly be entering into just kind of that 30-day negotiation period, and more information again will be coming to the board and obviously to the public on our transportation provider. Finally, we then moved into our usual update on the 17-18 budget, as well as obviously kind of wrapping up the where are we with the current school year. For the 17-18 budget, we are still forecasting a $113.5 million budget for the next school year. This is fortunately going to address, you know, major strategic initiatives within the district, including some facility work and obviously finishing Cedar Brook, but also work within our classrooms, within curriculum instruction, executing on the strategic plan. What it will also, though, include is a 1.7% increase in the millage rate. It is not a 1.7 millage rate increase, but it'll be a less than a, I guess, a 2% tax increase to homeowners. What we still have not yet identified is what that kind of homestead exclusion would also be. So remember, your property taxes are generally going to be both a millage as well as some level of contribution from estate gaming revenue. So I cannot yet say what the final number will be for all homeowners from the actual impact, but we're at about a 1.7% millage rate increase. And then finally, the last kind of major kicker into the budget for the 17-18 school year would be a $963,000 increase, or I guess contribution from fund balance. So similar to how we are operating this year, where we've got just under an $800,000 contribution to our budget from fund balance, next year we will be just under $1 million contribution to the budget coming from our fund balance. As it stands right now, our fund balance is somewhere in the $16 million range, although most of that is kind of already tabbed for other major items. For the current year, we are still kind of on track with our financial forecast of hitting our numbers, but we are still kind of being pushed with student placements and transportation. So as always, we will end the year on pins and needles, and we'll continue to look for Ms. Michaels for all the great updates, and looking forward to wrapping up this school year. Our next Financial Affairs Committee meeting will be on Tuesday, May 2nd. Again, this is our last meeting ahead of a May 9th kind of first board action where we vote on the preliminary, I guess it's not the preliminary budget, that's our first of two votes on our final budget. So please, again, last committee meeting ahead of board action will be on Tuesday, May 2nd. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. And then we have Educational Affairs. Mr. Recko.
Thank you, Mr. Strickland. This was a report, this is a report of the meeting that was held, the Educational Affairs meeting, on Tuesday, March 28th of this year. There were two items on the agenda, one of which was a report by Dr. Orsi on residency referral and investigative process. And Dr. Horsey gave tonight, or a little bit earlier, a good synopsis of what was discussed then, so I will not repeat that. The other item was a proposed Elkins Park time schedule change. The purpose of the time change, which affects the arrival and departure of students and staff at the Elkins Park School, is part of the district's effort to help make sure every student receives the most positive experience. It was noted that in certain instances, some students were arriving before the full complement of our staff was able to supervise them. Terms of the most recent CEA contract enables the administration to adjust arrival and departure times to remedy the situation. The changes are aligned to the Cheltenham School District's strategic plan in that they better support our curriculum and instruction and professional learning, as well as student achievement, holistic experiences, plus communication and engagement. As part of the presentation, a historical perspective of both time and school environment was made, showing how the old arrival and departure times affected both students and staff, as well as the benefits to all of the proposed schedule with the shift in times. While, as you might expect, the proposed new schedule created some logistical challenges, the resultant benefits were many, and they include creating a more welcoming environment for arriving students, a way to build better classroom communities with a more positive homeroom experience, a shift to a more proven elementary school connection to help students as they transition to Elkins Park from the four elementary schools. And we are also able to minimize, as I indicated before, any unsupervised time for our children. The parents of students coming into Elkins Park and students who will be there for the second year, many of them have heard of the changes that was presented to them, and they were it was received very, very well. And it is really a very welcome addition to one of the things that Cheltenham is doing in helping our students transition, as I said, from the four elementary schools to Elkins Park and smooth that out, which will be a great benefit. The next Ed Affairs Committee meeting is on Tuesday, April 25th at 6:30 in room 119. And for those who really like the long-range plan, the next Education Affairs meeting after that is on May 16th, presumably also in room 119 at 6:30. And that is my report.
Thank you, Mr. Recko. And now we have facilities. Mrs. Wright.
Thank you. The Facilities Committee met last on April 4th. We had roll call and approval of the March committee minutes. After that, Dr. Bobby provided us with an update on the Cedar Brook construction, which he gave to you earlier this evening. And then we had two additional agenda items, the first being the bids for the high school. In the previous meetings, we discussed the renovations that are going to take place at the high school for the STEM classrooms, the life skills classroom, the laboratory, and renovations at the modulars, which are located over at on the EP site. Five bids were received for this project. They were received on March 30th, and one of the agenda items is going to be a vote on whether we're going to approve this bid. But the base bid is for $1,858,000 with three add alternatives totaling $150,000. Then we also had a mechanical plumbing bid and an electrical bid as well.
for a total of $3,643,225. The second item, which is going to be a vote as well, is for the high school gym change order. This is for design work for the architects. This is to approve the change order for additional services, which includes removing and replacing of the commercial washer and dryers, motorized wrestling mat, batting cage lifts, video cameras, three-lane running track, the rendering of the gym, new trophy cases, striping on windows, for a total of $24,800. And again, this is just for design work. And this was actually already approved prior to our meeting, so we are really approving this retroactively. So with that, I will move to the agenda. And first item is approval of the change order. The administration recommends the approval of the change order for Tahari Architects for a total amount of $24,800 for additional services. And the second item is approval of contractors. The administration recommends the approval, the following contractors for the Cheltenham High School STEM classroom, laboratories, and renovation of the modular project. Walter Brucker, $2,008,700. He's the general contractor. Gates Electrical, $526,525. And Five Star Mechanical Work, $1,108,000 for a total construction bid of $3,643,225.
So moved.
Okay.
Mr. Reichel.
Excuse me, can we separate those two?
Certainly.
Absolutely can.
Okay, so then we'll take the first one, which is the Tahari Architects for $24,800.
Mr. Reichel.
Second.
Mr. Nelson. Any board comment, discussion? Ms. Haywood?
Just a comment. Since the this has already been approved by the administration, I'm going to ask Mr. Lewis, should that be the administration recommends the ratification of the change order to the Tahari Architects?
Either is correct. It's still correct. I mean, you're still approving it, even if it's a rat, even if it's after the fact. So it's appropriate.
Any other board comments? I ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion carries. And then the second item.
Approval of contractors. This is for the high school STEM classroom, laboratories, and renovation of the modulars for a total construction bid of $3,643,225.
Okay, have a motion.
So
moved. Mr. Nelson, Mr. Williams, any board comments or questions? Ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And aye. The motion carries.
Okay, thank you. The next Facilities Committee meeting will be held on May the 2nd in room 119.
Thank you, Mrs. Gray. And the Liaison Committee. The Liaison Committee met yesterday. Liaison Committee is representatives of the School Board of Directors and the Township Commissioners, as well as administration from each respective entity. And as is the case, I will not go through the items that have already been covered. The agenda included an update on Cedarbrook and the high school budget, school climate. There was an item about status on the tax abatement ordinance, which is a township. It's a township ordinance that has been on the books since 2002. The purpose is to help business property owners in five identified districts who make improvements to their business property. They would receive an abatement on any increase based upon the new assessment attributed to the improvements that were made to the commercial property. This is for 5 years. There is talk about the Township Environmental and Economic Development Task Force, thank you, is considering this right now. They're talking about expanding it township-wide, and I believe that there's a recommendation to make this a 10-year abatement, or that's just discussion?
That's just discussion for 5 to 10 years, and it would be to expand the range of properties it would include besides township-wide. It would also expand on commercial to mixed-use properties as well. And again, this is still in development under the Township Committee, the Economic Development Task Force.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. There was discussion, there's been a request to tour the Wincote Towers. This has been delayed due to requests of the management company. And there was a brief update on land development here in Cheltenham, which included the ongoing redevelopment of the Cheltenham Mall, and there was also an update on the Tyler property, and the potential for mixed-use land development that may be coming to Tyler. Lastly, the township informed us that code inspections are no longer the building inspector for the township. They're now working with Keystone for the building inspector work. This is all handled, it's subcontracted out by the township. The next meeting of the liaison committee will be on Monday, May the 15th, 8 a.m. at the township building. This is a public meeting. That concludes the liaison committee, and takes us to personnel committee.
There's been no meeting since the last legislative meeting, so there's nothing to report.
Thank you, Mr. Fishbein. And policy committee, Ms. Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Englund. Excuse me. The policy committee met on March the 23rd, and after review and approval of the minutes from February, the policy committee reviewed several administrative regulations that are ready for posting. Administrative regulations accompany policies and provide procedural requirements to implement the policy. I just wanted to briefly summarize those administrative regulations before I turn to the two policies that are being presented this evening for board review and voting. Policy 121, which is field trips, was approved at the March 21st, 2017 board meeting. The related AR was modified to include that the superintendent is responsible for approving field trips when the assistant superintendent is unavailable. It included emergency procedures as well to that administrative regulation. The overnight field trip policy will also be cross-referenced as part of the AR for purposes of consistency. And before AR 121 is posted, a timeline for submitting a request for a field trip will be added, as well as the field trip form and nurse request form. Policy 225, students and police, was also approved at the March 21st board meeting. The accompanying AR 225 was modified to add the memorandum of understanding with the Cheltenham Police as an attachment. And language added was also added regarding the MOU with Springfield Police. The policy, administrative regulation, and memorandum of understanding provide guidelines for administrators and staff to report student-on-student injuries to law enforcement. Before the AR 225 is posted, a definition of sexual abuse will be added to clarify conduct that's considered that constitutes sexual abuse and require referral to law enforcement. Another AR 117 that accompanies Policy 117 on homeroom instruction. There were minor edits to that administrative regulation as well. That includes now a definition of the licensed practitioner of the healing arts, and to clarify that that person would be authorized to determine whether a student's medical or psychological condition warrants or qualifies them for homebound instruction. AR 217, which accompanies Policy 217, on the graduation requirements. Again, there was a minor editing to that on administrative regulation, including some formatting changes.
for consistency with other ARs, and AR-217 is now ready for posting. This evening, the Policy Committee presents Policy 254, Student Wellness for Repeat First Read. Policy 254 guides the district's holistic approach to student wellness, proper nutrition, and health education. Policy 254 is presented as a repeat first read tonight, as the procedural portions of the policy related to reporting, appointment, composition, role of the Wellness Committee, nutrition education, physical activities, and physical education were moved to the administrative regulation. AR-254, in its revised form, will be reviewed by the Wellness Committee to consider the topic of food allergies or food restrictions to students within our schools relating to food allergies. Presented tonight for second read and board approval is policy in AR-259 on homeless students. The AR-259 was drafted with guidance from the solicitor and addresses district obligations regarding educating homeless students. So can I ask for a motion to approve policy in AR-259?
So moved. It's Mr. Fishbein and Mr. Rex. Any board comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a comment. The homeless policy coordinates with Sworcy's report about referrals of potentially out of district students, because we heard that four of the students who were thought and referred to administrations being out of district were actually homeless. This policy recognizes both our legal and our moral obligation to provide education to homeless students who come within our ambit. And it doesn't mean we're failing to do our fiscal duty to our taxpayers. It means we're doing our obligation legally.
Thank you. Any other board comment? Ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
The motion carries. That policy.
Okay. Last on the agenda was a new policy in AR on crowdfunding. Given the emerging use of GoFundMe accounts to raise money for various activities, this new policy in AR will provide policy and procedural guidance to the district for district staffs and others wanting to establish GoFundMe accounts to ensure that all crowdfunding campaigns conducted by district employees are conducted with the prior written approval of the administration. Several people have asked in the past where the administrative regulations are posted on the district website, and I've confirmed with Ms. David that to the extent that there is an AR that accompanies a policy, they appear after the policy itself. So if you're looking on the district website under the policy tab, the ARs will be after the accompanying policy. The next policy meeting is scheduled for April the 27th at 8 a.m. in room 119 of this building. These meetings are public and anyone is welcome to attend. As everyone's aware, we retain a running list of agenda topics, and as Mr. Nelson reported, there's some of those topics that go to the substantive board committee before they come to the policy committee. And at the last policy committee meeting, the policy committee has requested priority consideration of policy 214 fast rank, the truancy policy, which we have to implement by law, as well as district prioritization of district discipline policies, as well as on climate and culture. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Haywood. It is quite a task that the policy committee is in the middle of updating quite a few policies. Some that have been longer than you might imagine. So there is a lot of work there, and yes, going through the some of the committees, working with the administration to ensure what we're doing and how we're complying with changing laws, federal and state laws. Legislative update, Ms. Haywood.
Yes, before I go to the legislative update, I just want to briefly thank Mr. Roos and Ms. David for preparing very robust agendas, but allowing us to get through quite a few policies in a very short period of time. but an opportunity to really have a very good discussion about those policies. Okay, you're welcome. The legislative report. At the last Montgomery County Intermediate Unit Legislative meeting, they sponsored an annual legislative breakfast on April the 7th. Dr. Smith, Mr. Anglin, and myself attended along with administrators, school board directors, and other elected officials throughout Montgomery County. They began with remarks from Dr. Mary Allen Gordetzer, superintendent from Colonial School District, who talked about difficulties school districts face in meeting the needs of all students. Representative Mary Tocco, majority caucus chair of the Pennsylvania House Republicans, and Representative Madeline Dean, chair for the Southeast delegation of the Democratic Caucus, shared news from the Pennsylvania General Assembly as the PA legislature starts negotiation of the Republican budget proposal in response to Governor Wolf's proposed 2017 budget. After remarks from both Representative Topol and Dean, participants engaged in a roundtable discussion with their elected representatives on proposed legislation on poverty tax elimination, pension reform, charter school reform, and Every Student Succeeds Act. It was actually a really good luncheon, an opportunity to really have some good discussions with our elected officials. And as the PA legislature enters in a new legislative session and embarks on the budget process, the House Education Committee this week, both on the House and the Republican side, are have hearings. Hearings today were on the House Representative side, and tomorrow it's going to be on the Senate side. These committees are expected to consider the following bills. These include House Bill 97 on charter school reform, which also requires formation of a statewide funding advisory commission to evaluate funding issues related to charter schools and to make recommendations within 1 year of enactment. House Bill 97 raises concerns regarding the composition of the proposed funding advisory commission. The commission is proposed to be composed of legislators, the Secretary of Education, one member at large, selected by the governor, a president, the president pro tempore of the Senate, Speaker of the House, four legislators from the House and Senate, with the remaining four members who are business managers of a charter school, a cyber charter, a rural school district, and urban school district. But there is no representation by a suburban school district business manager. House Bill 97 would not permit also school boards to use their own application for initial and renewal of a charter school. House Bill 97 also proposes to expand the initial charter period from 3 to 5 years and the renewal period from 5 to 10 years, with no annual review required. This proposed legislation also limits the scope of the information the charter school must provide to a charter and school district and does not require evaluation of the charter school performance standards. We should expect in Harrisburg a continued push for charter school reform, but again, out in the lead is House Bill 97 with some of the, in terms of the concerns that it raises for various school districts. Other bills scheduled for discussion by the House Education Committee include House Bill 205 that removes employees of the PA School Boards Association from PEASRs, House Bill 339, which prohibits teacher preparation programs from requiring passage of the practice exam for graduation. Also proposed is House Bill 1022, which requires PA institutions of higher education to provide uniformity and credit availability to incoming freshmen who have received a 3 or better on the AP exam. That's significant because some schools offer it a credit, some schools do not. If this bill is passed, it would provide some uniformity for colleges to accept those AP scores of 3 or above on the AP exam for credit, college credit. On the Senate Education Committee side, they're also expected to hear legislation on homeschooling, which is Senate Bill 93. This bill would permit students who are homeschooled to access additional programs like vocational and technical education programs that are offered to every student within the public school system. The next bill, Senate bill, to me is very troubling. Senate Bill 383, which will be under discussion by the Senate Education Committee tomorrow. Again, it's just proposed for consideration. Would permit school boards to adopt policies allowing school personnel to have access to firearms on school property, which, in my opinion, is a recipe for disaster, but nonetheless, it's a proposed piece of legislation that's up for discussion. Senate Bill 273 is also up for discussion or proposal. It prohibits state funding of sanctuary campuses, meaning that if we refuse to share information regarding the immigration status of students with the federal government, we will be denied funding from the federal government. Another proposed piece of legislation is SB 592, which I reported on previously, requires offers of employment to prospective superintendent, assistant superintendent, associate superintendent, and principal to be posted on the district's website 2 weeks prior to hiring, or before the board takes action to hire any of those positions. The posting would need to include details of the final offer, including salary and length of the contract. I'm going to just briefly report on the federal side. When we were at the legislative breakfast, we were, Congressman Boyle's chief of staff shared with us some legislation that I was not aware of, which is House Bill 899, which was introduced on February the 7th, which proposes termination of the Department of Education by December 31st, 2018. While there's a long way to go for this proposed legislation to be adopted, that would be the end product, that the Department of Education would be no more by next year. That concludes my legislative report.
Thank you. We're going to be foregoing these in the future, I think.
Only good news.
Thank you. It is quite troubling. I agree with you. Senate Bill 383, I don't think that anybody benefits from having our staff carrying sidearms or long rifles through the school day. And you know, it's just very disconcerting that special interests in our Commonwealth have such influence over our policy. Anyhow.
Again, it would not require us to do that.
No, I know.
Allow school boards to adopt policy to allow staff to carry firearms.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that. It'd be nice if the two governing bodies got back to funding public education and left some of these other things aside. But, administrative reports, personnel, Ms. David.
Thank you. Under action items, number 4 will be separate voting items. Before that, as a consent agenda, 1, appointment of support staff, A, B, and C. 2, approval of changes in position, A. 3, approval of service agreement, A. 5, extra duty, extra pay, A.
So moved. Second. Mr. Nelson, Mr. Fishbein, any board comments? Ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
And approval to terminate classified employee. A, administration recommends the termination of employment of classified employee number 80 pursuant to section 5-514 of the Pennsylvania School Code and information provided to the Board of School Directors effective April 19, 2017.
Second. Mr. Nelson, Mr. Fishbein, more comment. I ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. That carries.
And approval to terminate classified employee B. Administration recommends the termination of employment of classified employee number 5580 pursuant to section 5-514 of the Pennsylvania School Code. And information provided to the Board of School Directors effective April 19, 2017.
So move.
Second.
Mr. Nelson, Ms. Haywood, ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion carries.
And informational items under personnel. One, resignations, 1 through 8. 2, retirements, 1 through 13. And 3, non-discretionary leaves of absence, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you, Ms. David. Moving along, we have educational affairs, Dr. Smith.
I'm submitting the following as a consent agenda. 1, approval of conferences, A through D. 2, approval of educational service agreements. 3, acceptance of donation. 4, adoption of adjudication findings. 5, approval of volunteers.
So moved. That was Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright, Alice Williams. Any board comment or questions? I ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 And aye. That motion carries. And that takes us to financial affairs. Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. I will submit the financial affairs agenda as a consent agenda. 1, approval of 2016-17 budget transfers, A, as submitted. 2, approval of payments, A, as listed. 3, MCIU fuel oil bid, A, as listed. 4, approval of bid 17/18 instructional supplies, A, as listed. 5, approval of MCIU joint purchasing bid award, A, as listed.
So moved.
Seconded.
Mr. Rackow, Mr. Cohen, any board comment? Ms. Haywood?
I just wanted to note for the record that with respect to the number 3, the MCI fuel oil bid, as well as the joint purchasing bid award, these are all opportunities where we can actually get great, better financing of purchases through the MCIU. And so I thank you, Ms. Michaels, for continuing to use the MCIU's resources in that.
I ask for the vote, please.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Michaels. Let's see. That takes us to response to prior public questions. Dr. Smith.
Our first question is, how do we provide the resources for academic atmosphere and support at all school buildings? Central office administrators work in conjunction with school-based leaders to constantly assess the resources in place that speak to academic atmosphere and support. Together, we determine resource effectiveness and recommend adoption of new resources that should be utilized as best practices whenever necessary. Second question, how was the strategic plan brochure created without the discipline policies in place? Discipline policies do not appear in strategic plan as it is a board-based visionary document that does not specifically address organizational policies or procedures.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And this brings us to public comments. If there's anybody in attendance who has a comment for the school board, please approach the podium. Seeing none, I would ask for let's see, information or public meetings are listed down below. And I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Nelson, Mr. Haywood, all in favor? Mr. Haywood's not.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.